listeners, welcome to episode 5 of Geniuses, Poets and Artists, the Improv Company podcast. My name is Kim. I am still your host for this podcast. Today, we have with us VX. She has recently finished our level 3 class at the Improv Company and is about to do her first show. Or rather, it is not really her first show, but it is one of her showcases. And we are really, really excited about that. So listen on. Hi, hello, welcome to Geniuses, Poets and Artists. Today I have with me BX.
Hello.
Tell me, BX, let's orient our listeners. Who are you?
Who am I? That is such a deep question, Kim. I will start with the boring. I work at HR Strategy Operations and Tech Company by day. At night, I do lots of random things. I'm a hobby collector. I hang out with friends. I like to travel, or I did before, you know, the borders were locked down. Lots of wanderlust. That's probably me. Oh, lots of food. I like food.
Okay. Any particular kind of place or food or styles of things? Any specific things that catch your interest?
Oh, so many things. Okay, well, I guess the first one is books. I like fiction. I read everything except for self-help books. I like to eat all kinds of food except for carbs, spicy food, and beef. So if people have restaurant recommendations that don't include those three things, I'm always very excited.
Okay. Is the beef thing like a taste thing or is it like a religious thing?
It's a religious thing. So I'm Buddhist, so I haven't eaten beef purposefully before in my life.
Okay.
Non-purposefully, yes.
Oh, okay. So this is a childhood...
Since I was born.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I was vegetarian for a brief time.
How was that?
20 years.
20 years? You were vegetarian for 20 years?
Yeah. My mom was Buddhist and she was really intense about it. So I was vegetarian until I was 21, I think. And then I was in the UK and I was getting out of her orbit so I started doing my own thing. And then the idea of eating meat like started to creep out on me. And then one day I ordered a pizza. And I thought it was a Parmesan pizza because it said Parma. But it turns out Parma is a ham.
One of my favorite hams, really.
Yeah.
And only surprised by Hamon.
It turns out it was great. And it came and it was slathered in the stuff. And I was like, it would be a waste to send this back. So I ate it.
And there it went.
Yes, my next meal was at KFC. And then I went to the cashier and I looked at her hands. And her hands were beside the chicken. And I looked at the bones and I was like, they look really similar. And then I ate the chicken.
Still delicious, right?
Still good. I got over those hangups really quickly.
And I have to say, your first two like non-vegetarian meals were right. Parma ham and then fried chicken. Honestly, I mean, I don't eat beef, so I can't talk about steak. But other than that, I think you've hit like pretty much jackpot.
It's pretty good. It's good. Now I have pre-hypertension, so
the
jackpot
that.
Continues to give. So all kinds of fun stuff. Cool. Okay. So tell me, how do you get into improv?
The story I like to tell people is that I wanted to explore myself, and improv seemed like a fun thing. But the real story is, I was at a dinner party, and there was a cute guy, and he mentioned he had like two tickets for an improv taster session, and would I like to go? And I was just like, yeah, okay, why not? Mm-hmm. And so the next Saturday, I showed up at the den, or the improv company, for a taster session, and it was I was hooked.
Oh, great. Is he here? Is he still around?
Oh, no.
Did he stop?
I don't know, he might not even be in Singapore anymore. We're not in touch.
Yeah, Singapore does that. We have a lot of people come in, they do it, and then they go, and it's sad.
It is sad, but we are friends, and I learn improv, so I consider it a very successful dinner party.
Wonderful. Excellent. Great. Jovi has, I think, played the role of that guy many times.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's very interesting. I'll have to ask him about the stories the next time I see him.
He's evangelizing about the improv to people, which is great from my point of view, because I do that too. This is my life, so great.
Kim, you can hear your passion for improv with every word that you speak. You don't have to evangelize. It just like seeps out of your pores.
I have not thought about my pores for a while. Great improv pores. That's what I needed. To get into that skincare regime myself. So that was your start. When was that? Was that last year?
I started in the October-November batch of classes. I took a break in summer and January because of some family stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I did 201 afterwards. So there's 101, which is like your basic improv, 201, which is like your short form stuff. And I just started 301 two Saturdays ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's not very long, about 4 or 5 months. Great. What, you have a team now?
Yeah, you're catching me at the very beginning of my improv journey, Tim.
So
after 201, or during 201, super fortunate to do some shows with the company Players, and I loved it, and I was just like, why don't I have my own team? And literally, I think I was volunteering backstage for one of the teams that started at Yale and US. I can't remember the name of them now. Mm-hmm. And I was standing there with two other improvisers, Paul and Faye, and we were just like, why don't we have our own team? And we were just like, we should start one.
Yeah.
And so we started one.
Great.
That was like 3 weeks ago.
So it's Paul, Faye, and you?
No, it started with Paul, Faye, me. And then so now Hamza, Zeming, Sam Booth, but he's only going to be here for our first performance, and then he flies back to the UK. Dave's in it. Am I missing anyone? Nicole, of course. Yeah. Kind of a motley fun crew. We may bring people in and stuff like that as life goes by.
I kind of only knew like half the members.
And now you know them all.
I know them all. Including, I still haven't met a couple of them, which is great. It's fine. You should totally form your own teams. If anyone is listening to this and you're thinking, should I have an improv team?
The answer is yes.
Yeah.
And honestly, folks, it's not really that hard. Don't tell anyone I told you this. Oh, yes, no, wait, this is going on air. But we literally just went to the Jam Dat thing. We were just like, who looks cool? And who looks like they'd be down to join a team? And literally, no one said no.
Yeah. Maybe we should just, I don't know, solidify that, make that an SOP. Go form a team.
Actually,
from our point of view, that is exactly what we want people to do. Because we can't support every team, because we are human. And at the same time, if people don't form teams, they tend to stop improvising after a while because there isn't that kind of sense of community, there's the support. I think people who do that are a little bit of outliers, but we still want to support them. But obviously, if you have a team that you like and you start doing things together with, that's an ideal situation. So, great. When is your first show?
Our first show is May 14th. I have no idea when this airs, but hopefully it's before that. Come buy tickets. It's at 8 p.m., folks.
Yes, it should be before that. Fingers crossed. Awesome. We'll talk about it more in a little while. So, at this point, what is your favorite improv thing? This could be a class, a workshop, a show you've seen, or even just, I don't know, a book, you know, literally anything at all.
I think my favorite improv thing is, this is going to sound really silly, but learning and practicing new improv things. Because, like, the thing is, improv starts out as like a really small world. You have your three basic rules, you have your short form games and all that kind of stuff. But the more you play, the more you realize that there's kind of like an infinite number of things that you can learn and do with it, because a lot of it's stuff that people just come up with and make structures on the spot. Like literally today in, so our troupe is Strangers in Sync, we have a chat that is getting busier and busier as we get to know each other. We literally just like came up with a random game today because we were making fun of each other and we were just like, this would be a cool game. Maybe we should play it on our show in May. And ta-da, a game was born. I think that's super cool to be able to randomly innovate, do things, and learn and execute on that.
Yeah, 100%. I will say, if you guys do a little bit of research, and you know, just check out some of those books that we have in the library or not, you can find that there are a lot of things that people have already done. You don't need to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah, exactly.
You can just take their wheels and make it a bit better or make it more suited for yourself, and then that's your show, that's your game.
As an ex-consultant, I fully approve. Steal with pride. That is the thing.
Yeah, steal like an artist. Great artist, steal. And you totally should steal. I think for improv especially, if you take something that someone has already done, and there are so many improvisers, so many shows, you should just take that, you know, maybe credit them for the original idea, but then take your own spin on it, and suddenly you have something that suits you perfectly and is yours and has your voice. Rather than having to, you know, stick to the whole like old games or whatever over and over. In a way, we do like the old games because they've been there for us for a long time. But you know, it's improv. You're making stuff up.
And it's good. I think the thing is, it's good to have that like old structure that you have, or not old structure, but like an existing structure.
Tradition.
And then like just add like your own tweak onto
100%,
it, right?
Yeah.
And that's like the fun part of it.
Yeah. Especially at these, you guys. It sounds like most of you guys are quite new. And
oh,
so
100%.
Yeah, which is both amazing and terrifying. Everything is new. So
folks, you can't see Kim right now, but he's totally rethinking having us perform in May.
Not really. I think it's great. I think you guys have already signed up for your own show. It's, I think, even before the showcase of some of you. And that is exactly the spirit we want, right? So there's been groups that have been like, oh, we need to practice like a billion times before we get on stage. And I'm like, I understand, because that's what I did at the time. but you know, do as I say and not as I do. We can just get on stage, it's improv. That's why for our showcases, we only schedule two practices, because honestly, that's all you need. Like, oh, here's a game. One, two, off you go, bam, you're done.
I completely get it. And I also think that done is better than perfect. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Better to start and see it happen, even if it goes up in flames, than to never do it at all.
Yeah, 100%. And you learn different things from a show than from a billion practices.
I agree. Showcase, by the way, mine is on May 9th. Feel free to buy tickets to that too, folks.
Oh, so your showcase will be before your show?
It will be like 5 days before my show.
Yes, if by my schedule, it should be right the day, the showcase will be the day this episode is released.
Oh, fantastic. So hope you all are watching the show, and then you come for the other show on the Friday or Saturday.
I would say, listeners, that I'm not the best at calendars, so I could be wrong about this. If the showcase hasn't already happened, go check it out. If it has already happened, sorry.
Come see the other show.
Which will definitely be after this episode has aired. So, I improvised a lot of things, including the scheduling for this podcast. Awesome.
Which is so interesting, because before I started improv, I was not spontaneous at all. So this is very interesting.
Yeah, it turns out that, planning is necessary in this world, it turns out. Like, for example, the IMDA requires us to have our licenses 2 months, at least 2 months, before a show, which was way longer than any of our planning horizons pre-COVID.
Wait, was this a regulation before COVID as well? Or is it like a post-COVID regulation?
Yeah, that's fun questions. Those are really fun questions.
Great, I'm glad.
Yeah, I love those questions. Those are great. At some point, we have a festival again, and then we'll learn new things about planning horizons and things like that. Yeah.
What's a festival? Is it like basically improv like all day?
Oh, Jesus. Oh my God, you guys don't know what a festival is.
No, we don't know what a festival is. We're new.
Oh, man. Okay, so an improv festival, yes, it's essentially you improv all day. You start in the morning, usually with workshops, and then you have workshops for a little while, and then you have shows from late afternoon to evening. Sometimes it's a full day of workshops, sometimes it's a full day of shows. We've had two in Singapore so far,
mm-hmm.
Singapore Improv Festival, so the posters that we have in the den
mm-hmm.
are our marketing materials from those. We were supposed to have our third one in 2020.
Oh, good year for it.
Yeah, but things got in the way, shall we say. And then we were saying, let's do it at the end of 2020. It turns out that sometimes things can really get in the way for a very long time. And so we cancelled that one.
Are you guys thinking about doing one in 2021? Is it too soon to ask?
We do it every 2 years normally.
Oh,
yeah, so we alternate with the Manila Improv Festival. I don't know if they're doing it this year. I think they might be doing it online. I need to check. Yeah. I'll put a little coda at the end of this when I confirm that. And then, so we have just people coming in to do shows, workshops. We were flying in a couple of instructors from the US last year. So we'll probably try and do it again next year.
That would
Fingers
be
crossed.
Super cool.
It's crazy. The first time we did it, we realized that people were getting quite siloed in the community. They were doing their own teams. They weren't talking to each other. So we were like, you know, let's do a festival. Let's come together. Let's do it. Because it's all improv, right? We're not each other's competitors. There are so many other things that we are competing with for people's time and money with and energy. So we did one. We brought everyone together for 2-3 days in Center 42. And then 2 years later, we did it again. But this time, we had international guests. And so they were flying in. They did this. All the photos are from there. And it was great. It's probably the highlight of my career as improviser.
I love that. I cannot wait for the next one. I think it's going to be super, super fun.
Yeah, super excited. Hopefully, it will happen.
Oh, it'll definitely happen. It's just a matter of when.
I guess, given the regulations now, we could probably do it.
I see ideas being formed.
Man, I think Miguel might kill me.
Miguel, this was not my idea, if you're listening to this. But I would be really, really excited if you had one.
I will say that Miguel also sprang the mini-fest on me last year in the middle of a community meeting. He was like, hey, let's do a mini-festival. And I was like, hang on, Ming, did we talk about this? And then and we had to talk about it, but it happened. And I think it was a good thing that it happened. So you know, we improvise many things.
Why not? I think that's the best way to go.
Okay. Well, when that happens, everyone will know when the festival comes in. Because we normally involve the community in many different ways. Because we can't do everything ourselves. So there'll be an organizing committee. People will chip in with volunteering and just general evangelism, the kind of thing. So people are excited. and it will definitely happen again. It's just a matter of how and when.
You can actually ask me to help because I actually love organizing events. It's like what I do.
You know, I was just talking about this to someone just now. Organizers in improv are like some of the most valuable improvisers. Not just because, well, it can be quite a thankless job. Most improvisers come in to improvise. They don't come in to organize. And so when someone is doing organizing, they're like, hallelujah, I can improvise. This is great. But if no one picks up that baton, shows don't happen.
Yeah.
And rehearsals don't happen, groups fall apart. So yeah, great. Awesome. Yay.
I am in.
Okay. I will let you know. So at this point, how would you describe your relationship to improv?
My relationship to improv, I would say, is new. You know, like with any relationship, you start out and you're trying to figure out where things are going. And then during that time, you spend like an intense amount of time with each other, getting to know each other, until you get to like a, I know you, you know me, like this is kind of where we're at, stable state.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still in the intense trying to get you to know you better part of improv, which is super, super fun and super, super cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. So that is the early fun part.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that the rest of it isn't fun. I'm still here. Clearly, it's just, it changes, right?
Yeah, and that's changes. Yeah, and that's how everything is, right? Like, this is the part where you learn and grow and understand and figure out what you like and you dislike, and then the rest of it is where you figure out how to like manage and stabilize and keep things fresh and keep things new, right? And then like involve the people that you love in it. So, yeah.
Awesome. Now you sound really self-aware, which is great. I think a lot of people come in like, oh, improv, they burn out. Or they've realized that their relationship has changed and it's not quite what they were thinking at the start. So, awesome. You know what's coming then. Great.
You're like, I'm preempting you now. And I'm like, no, I got it.
Very, very cool. Have you been taking any kind of online improv things at all? Like classes or...?
No, I've been taking random things. Like, there is a set of folks who do, like, kind of mini coaching with folks in the US, and I've been to a couple sessions of those.
Mm-hmm.
That's been really, really fun. But other than that, I think most of my improv experience has been in person, which I'm very thankful for, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess work-wise, it's a lot of online video conferencing and whatnot.
Yeah, and the thing is, I think like in my day job, I can spend anywhere from like 6 to 12 hours in Zoom meetings or the equivalent of that. So it's really refreshing to be able to get out of that and like talk to people in real life, face-to-face.
Okay. Yeah, we get that a lot. I think we try to launch an improv online thing, and then people are like, I don't want Zoom anymore.
I think where person, like in-person meetings are not an option, the online version would be super great. But now that we have the in-person stuff, it's just so much more fun to be able to go into a room and do that stuff.
Yeah, true.
And also, physicality on Zoom is just not quite as fun.
No, it's quite different, yeah. I like it because I get to play with people from anywhere.
That's true.
Yeah.
There is
the only problem is the time zone, because no one takes Asia into account for some reason.
Oh no,
but
you don't say.
Okay.
Yeah.
So aside from improv, what are you most interested in?
Actually, organizing events. No, I'm not even kidding. I went to school in New York. I'm a big part of the board in Singapore. We actually organize events. We run team things. We hang out as a community. I've done wedding planning a couple of times.
Like
mainly,
professionally?
Well, not professionally, but like my friends have weddings and they're just like, BX, can you help out? And that's because like I used to do floral arrangement. And so I did flowers for a couple friends' weddings. And then from like doing the flowers, I ended up helping to plan some stuff. And then now I officiate weddings and all sorts of random stuff like that. What was the question? What do I do outside of work? Oh yeah, lots of things. I like to eat. I like to read. I used to dance bachata for a little bit, and then I met Adi and realized I sucked. Lots of different things. I tried cooking for a bit over lockdown, then I realized I prefer to eat and not to cook.
Okay. Quite a variety of things. We don't normally associate people who like organizing things with improv. It's not normally a lot of overlap. Very few of people do that. So, you know, if I think like Miguel is one example, Yinqing will be another.
Mm. Actually, half the people in Strangers in Sync, which is the name of the troupe I'm in, are organizers.
That's weird.
I know, right? We all just like coalesce together. That's why we have rehearsals.
Interesting. Okay. That is part of it for sure. Definitely,
yeah.
I've been in groups where no one takes the lead on rehearsals. and it doesn't happen. And then the group dies.
Ah, so you need someone to I don't want to use the word delegate, but you need someone who's willing to be like, hey, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to do that.
Yeah,
people do it. They just don't want to think they have to do it. That's the big takeaway about organizing events. Everyone's willing to pitch in, they just don't want to shoulder the load of thinking about it first.
Yes. Sorry, just some flashbacks to the festival.
I can see that experience is firmly branded in your memory.
Twice.
Not just once, but twice. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and we'll do it again, so it's going to happen. Cool. Okay. Has improv affected any of that? Any of like the other things that you're interested in? Is there any kind of intersection there?
Not necessarily in terms of stuff, but I think it has impacted who I am as a person. So the thing is, I don't know if anyone would guess this, but like I'm a little not spontaneous and very organized. And also I have terrible stage fright, and I have had it since I was a kid.
Oh.
Like when I was 15, I went out for Model UN, which is Model United Nations. And you know they have these solid wood podiums that you have to like stand in front of and deliver your speech? I was so nervous that I was shaking and I was holding onto the podium for dear life, and I actually like knocked a solid wooden podium down. I was that nervous.
Mm.
Okay. So I think improv has given me a little bit more confidence to like be bold and be out there. And that just kind of carries over to everything that you do, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If you don't, I also firmly believe like if you want to try something, you should try something that you're really uncomfortable doing. Because that's how you grow as a person.
Hmm.
And improv makes me super uncomfortable, but I also super enjoy it.
I was going to ask about that, because it sounds like, again, like the overlap of people who get a lot of stage fright and then decide to get into improv is, I think the overlap's not massive, but it does help, I think. Like, these are principles of it. You know, just get out there and try stuff, and if you fail, it's fine. Just learn from that.
Yeah. I think what I really like about improv is like the three basic rules, at least the ones that we learn in class here,
mm-hmm.
are basically how I live my life anyway. So from that aspect, it like has really, really gelled. Like something that stood out to me, like we were in 201 and we were giving each other feedback at the end of class. And one of the ladies turned to me and she said, her feedback to me was like, BX, I don't think you're acting at all. I think who you are on stage and who you are as a person are exactly the same people. And I was just like, cool. Did not realize that, but that is kind of true.
Okay. How did that make you feel?
Well, it made me re-realize why I appreciate the rules of improv so much. I love that it's so collaborative and everyone's like working together to a shared common goal,
mm-hmm.
even when there's tension and drama, which is totally okay. I love that you're trying new things and all of that kind of stuff. So from all of those aspects, I loved it. But then it also made me aware that maybe acting is something I need to be better at. Like, not just being myself on stage, but being able to inhabit different characters and bring that to whatever role or game or
mm-hmm.
whatever I'm playing. And that's when I started making some deliberate choices about practices.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's like, I realize I tend to do like date scenes a lot because I'm very comfortable in that space.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to do less of that. Or I'm not very good at showing negative emotions on stage, like crying or being angry or any of that kind of stuff, because that's not who I am as a person.
Sure.
So like just when the opportunity arises and it feels right, to let myself like lean into that a little bit more and not to go to my standard like, woo, yay, life is great, woo, woo, whatever kind of stage. So it was a really interesting comment for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. How has the... You just started 301 with Hazel, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
How's that been?
That has been interesting. Class 1 was super awkward and uncomfortable. There's a big evolution between 201 and 301, right?
Yes, I've been told.
He's like, no, not really, but okay. But it feels like a big evolution in terms of like the things that you're thinking about and how in 201 I feel like you can go a little crazy, but in 301, like any crazy choice that you make stays with you for like a little more than just the next 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So I think adapting to that for most of us in class was a little tough, but the second class of 301 was like fantastic. Like, everyone started getting in groove, we started really yes-ending each other, we started bringing back some of the principles from early 201 that I think we had stopped thinking about, which is building that foundational work with your characters, your relationships, your objectives, and your location, and, like, using that to actually, like, bring the scene across, and, like, it's been really good since.
Good. Awesome. I'm glad to hear that. Looking forward to your showcase. Both your showcases, I guess, since your 201 still hasn't happened yet.
For any and all shows in the future. Thank you, Kim.
Well, it's great. I think we've got quite a good batch of people coming through and the showcases, and a lot of teams are forming.
Is the community bigger now than it was pre-COVID? Like, how has that evolved over the last year?
It's hard to tell. I mean, it was a year ago, and I don't remember a lot. Like, I think there were teams, and it had kind of stagnated a little bit. I think people hadn't realized that they could do teams. And actually, I was talking to one of the students the other day. Yeah, it's just, I was like, oh yeah, there are four teams that are forming. He's like, what? You can do teams? And I was like, yeah. I think it had always been obvious to me that you could, because that's what we do. But I guess that's not obvious to a beginner. Like, starting out and saying, you can do a team, yeah, like, who's going to stop you? You should do it.
I guess that makes sense. I feel like a lot of people, when they start getting into a hobby, they don't know what the boundaries are, and so sometimes they may assume the boundaries a little smaller than what it really is.
Yeah, but I guess, yeah, just to reiterate, people, even if they're just starting out one-on-one and they want to do a team, they should, because there's no better time than now. And if you find the right people and you start doing teams, you realize that there are other things around there that you need to learn, like how do you organize, how do you run a session, things like that. And the earlier you learn those things, then the easier it gets.
Yeah, I mean, one of the guys in our troop is, I think when we had recruited him in, he had only just finished 101, like literally like 3 days before that. And he's only just in 201 right now. And it's been just so refreshing to have everyone in still. Like, it doesn't matter what class level you are, as long as you're enthusiastic and willing and like ready to dive in and try new things, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And great, awesome. We should get more organizers to do improv.
Good luck advertising for that. I can't imagine like what you would select for Facebook marketing. Interests are.
Do you like to organize things? Do you like to have things planned out in advance? Do some improv.
Super random. But maybe possible. Try it and let me know how that works out.
Well, it's a very untapped market, let's say. So maybe. I think we were thinking about that the other day. My alma mater is Dunman High, so it's a Chinese school. It turns out they've been doing theatre sports, which is essentially improv, but a kind of a structured, short-form version of that for 14 years.
Oh my gosh.
And I did not know that because I don't do Chinese. Like, Chinese is in Chinese. Apparently, they invited some schools and the whole letter was in Chinese. I took a long time to read that letter.
Oh, wow.
And very slowly, and I think I might be wrong about a lot of things. Literally, the only English in the letter was his email address. And so it's a bit like, okay, that could have been something, but, you know, it's not a thing. But untapped markets, because we don't, at an improv company, we don't do Chinese at all. We do English, because that's the only language I got.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. Like, I've lived in 7.5 countries, and I know this language, that's it. But I heard that people are forming their own improv jams in Mandarin now, so that's kind of cool.
I hear.
I've never been
to one.
I mean,
theoretically, I've seen it potentially happen, but given that I would never go, because, I know what you said about doing things that make you feel uncomfortable, but Chinese makes me really, really feel uncomfortable, like viscerally, so.
There's like uncomfortable, and then there's like impossible, and there is a line between the two. And I believe in doing things that are uncomfortable, but I would never go to a Mandarin improv jam, because same reason. I'll speak
so,
the language.
Oh, this is a little bit random. So there's a group called Mandarin is Pain. Have you heard of them?
No, but that totally sounds like my kind of thing.
Right, right. So it was actually born out of, it was post-festival, we had this post-production party going. I had a lot of alcohol and I was yelling at people in Chinese because I thought it would be funny. And my Chinese is really bad. So my vocabulary is going to, you should do this thing, I'm unhappy. And then we said, let's do an improv show in Chinese. All you shitty improv, shitty Mandarin speakers, let's get together and do a show in Mandarin. And we did it. We actually did it at the Improv Festival, got half a standing ovation, which I will take.
That's kind of cool. I mean, people stood up for you, even if it was half, that was like people.
Yes, and they stood up at the end of the show and not during the show.
Oh my god, they stayed the whole show, bravo!
That's great. So we actually resurrected that not too long ago, did another show in the gallery, actually. So that's where the knife, that massive cardboard knife, is from. I realized this is a podcast and I'm pointing at things.
For
so
you listeners out there, what Kim is describing is like a really long, almost like a sphere or a spear, and it has like a, it's like almost like a Chinese thing, so it looks like something that you could stab people with, but apparently it's made of paper.
It is made of softwood and foam board, I think.
Oh, sorry. It is made of softwood and foam board, but it looks quite realistic.
Yeah. So, you know, as and when, I'll let you know when the Mandarin is Pain group comes back. Yeah. It's a pun. It's even an actual Mandarin pun, which I didn't think I ever do in my life. But it's because there's a Speak Chinese campaign, right? Hua Yu Ku, which is, I guess, Chinese is cool or something.
I have heard this Hua Yu Ku thing, like, scattered around the peripheries of my friend group, but I have never explored what that meant until now.
I think, theoretically, the idea is that Mandarin should be cool and that the younger generation, or people should use Mandarin. I didn't really care about it, but the name of the group is Hua Yu Ku. So it's bitter or pain or whatever it is that you felt when you were forced to study Mandarin back in the day.
Yeah.
I'll let you know. It'll be fun.
I probably should not have skipped Chinese school all that time when I was a kid.
Okay. I skipped nothing. I spent all my tuition money was spent on that. So that... All I got was trauma. Whatever, it's fine.
Yeah, I spent 0 to 2 and 3 to 5 in terms of age in Taiwan. And I spent 1st grade to 4th grade in China. And I still only speak English. Don't worry, you're good.
Okay. Well, sounds like you've been around, like just traveling. Is that a family moving around different countries kind of thing?
Yeah, so my dad worked for Singapore Airlines before he retired.
Ah,
so
okay.
We moved around a lot,
okay.
Like a ton.
Okay.
7.5. It was fun.
What's the half?
Oh, I did an internship in Scotland. And I was there for like 8 weeks, which is not long enough to say that you've lived there, but also not short enough to not have lived there. Do you know what I mean? Like you spent like 8 weekends there and you had to eat fish and chips like maybe like, I don't know, 4 weeks of those 8 weeks. So like, I feel like it counts for something.
Okay. Although Scotland is it a country?
I mean, United Kingdom.
Okay.
Kind of counts, no?
Well, yeah.
They have castles, they have lords, they have kilts. How could it not be a country, really?
Okay, great. So we're coming pretty close to the end. Where are you headed next?
Well, literally speaking to a practice gym so I can practice more improv. But in terms of my overall improv journey, I mean, there are a couple of milestones. We have our first show coming up, as we mentioned several times.
Mm-hmm.
Strangers in Sync, weekend of May 14th. And then long form improv, I think, is super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Something else I really want to explore is this concept of game.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a workshop that was held at the Den that was super, super interesting. And then there's been some like online coaching things on it, which
mm-hmm.
has been super cool. And I love the idea that you can have like a regular day and then just take something super unusual and it becomes like funny because you commit to it so much. I love that. So doing that and then seeing how we can apply that to what we do with Troupe, playing with different people, all of that kind of stuff. I think that's where I want to go with improv. But again, I'm only like really 4 months in. So ask me again, you know, in 8 months.
Well, okay, sure. I think things will be quite different. 8 months is a long time for an improv journey. So we'll chat back then. Otherwise, thank you so much. This has been BX. This has been Geniuses, Poets, and Artists. Thank you, listeners, and see you around next week. Or we'll hear you, I guess. I forget, it's a podcast.
You'll hear him. That's what he means.
Yes. I won't hear you. It's true. Unless you want to send in comments, which you totally can, please email us at contact@improv.sg if you have comments for the podcast or if you'd like to be featured or sponsor us. I like sponsorship. Money's great. Or any other number of things that you want to talk to us about. Maybe complain. I love complaints. Come at me.
And the email address for that is?
Oh, it's contact@improv.sg.
Perfect. Y'all know where to go.
All right. Thank you so much.
And that's a wrap, listeners. And that's week 5 of Geniuses, Poets, and Artists. I am having a great time doing these podcasts. If there's anything that you'd like to hear or talk about or listen to, please send us some suggestions at contact@improv.sg. The feedback that I find the most interesting and/or useful will get a free rubber chicken pin, so email me now. In the meantime, stay safe and speak truth to power.